Amazing, and Janine put that all together before she went on leave, and so when you see her again, you can just tell her how good that was. She had hours worth of footage. If you want to find out some of the deeper truths of the scriptures, you know, you can always check those archives and what the kids have to say about it. It was really good. But again, and from my side and from our family, how grateful we are to the church that has blessed us over this past year with, you know, just been a tremendous family to us, friends to us, and particularly in the last few weeks, we've been overwhelmed by the sort of gestures of love that we've received, whether that be an encouragement or gifts or people having us around for a meal or the life groups inviting us to Christmas parties and things like that. We just are tremendously grateful. So it really is my joy this morning to be able to bring, I hope, what will be a gift to you, a Christmas gift to you. And that your mind would be like, whoa, like the song says. Because I'm going to just drop a truth bomb with you this morning that is so profound that if you truly believe it, it will change everything for you. And it is these three words. Are you ready? Karen and Corky are ready in the front. Anyone else ready? Three words: change your life. If you understand the power of this, these three words: God loves you. You can forget anything else, everything else I've said all year, if you like. God loves you. And if you've grown up hearing that, is this coming and going? Is it fine? No, it's fine. Okay, good. That's probably my hearing that's coming and going. I can't hear so well off over some of the t-shirts and shirts that are being worn here. Uncle Ken and Gareth and others, you know, they should have had a fashion show today. It's quite exciting. But these words, God loves you. If you've grown up in the church, you've grown up in a Christian home and environment, and you probably went to school where you had some sort of Bible teaching, and you're hearing this, that God loves you. Maybe this is not as much of a mind-blown thing as it should be. But you know, in Jesus' time, the world that Jesus came into, this was a mind-blowing kind of a thing. He came into a world where people worshipped all kinds of gods, the Greeks and the Romans and others, and every nation and every people group had their own local gods. And these gods were powerful, and they could create things, and they could manipulate things, and they had the final say over all the things going on in the world. And you had to bring some sort of a bribe or some sort of a gift, a sacrifice or an offering, if you wanted the gods to bless you, if you wanted the gods to, you know, give you more babies or a bigger crop or healing or something like that. And you had to bring these sacrifices, and people would sacrifice their crops, they would sacrifice their wealth, they would sacrifice even their own children to get on the right side of the gods. The gods were everything. They were fearsome, they were powerful, but the one thing the gods were not was loving. The gods did not give a rip about humanity. And yet here comes this new teaching that suggests that there is a God who is all-powerful, but yet he loves you. Why do we believe that God loves us? Why does he love you? Not because you're so gosh darn lovable. If you were hoping that was it. I mean, who doesn't love me, right? I mean, look how cute I am. It's not because of that, okay? On the contrary, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But here's what the Bible tells us, that God is love. And whoever abides in love, this is coming, I'm gonna use the hand mic, okay? John 4:16, God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. The very nature of this God is love. In fact, in one of his most intimate introductions with a man named Moses in the Old Testament, God reveals himself to Moses, and he reveals his name and his nature. He says this: the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. This is what you need to know about me. Yes, I'm all powerful, I'm all knowing, but I am love. So it's God's very nature to love. But he also loves you because he created you in his image. He handcrafted you uniquely, beloved, and he has adopted you into his family. And John puts it this way, see what kind of love the Father has given to us that we should be called children of God, and so we are. And the reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. We are the beloved ones, this love that's lavished, poured out onto us, that we might be called his children. And what father does not know his children by name, by nature? And your heavenly Father knows everything about you. He knows how many hairs there are on your head. Easier to calculate for some than for others. He knows everything you've ever done in your life. He knows the secret longings of your heart. Sir, he knows you. He knows what's lacking in your soul. Ma'am, he knows you, even the most awful thing you've ever done. He knows that about you. But yet this God still loves you. And love is nothing if not expressed somehow. And so the Bible tells us that God expressed this great love for us. It's not just a feeling of affection that he has towards us, but he expressed this love to us in this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. God gave a son, born to us. If anybody following our daily bread readings, this morning's one was wonderful, that the God of all creation became for a moment a blip on the, what do you call it when you're pregnant? The scan on the, yeah. For a moment, the God of all creation was a blip on the scan and grew to become this baby boy and lived this human life, born into poverty, born into obscurity, born into all of the struggle of humanity, and this is how he is given to us. God gave us his son. Do I have any MCU fans here? Two of you. Okay, good. Marvel Cinematic Universe. Yes, a couple of you others know what I'm talking about. Okay, Marvel fans, one of the things you might know about some of the movies, the Marvel movies, was who's the father of Marvel, the Marvel comics, Marvel Cinematic Universe? Stan Lee. Okay, he's the guy who wrote all the comics and came up with all the characters. And he had a funny, quirky little thing that he did in most of the movies. What was it? Do you remember? What did he do? He put himself in the movies. He wrote himself into the story. Okay? Very cool, wasn't it? Until he died a couple of years ago in his 80s. But Stan Lee, if you go and watch all of those superhero movies from the Marvel comics, you'll find Stan Lee plays a little cameo in every single one of them. In an even far greater way, God in his great love has written himself into the script of the story of mankind. He's entered into the story in Jesus. God gave him to us. And he comes as this example of how we ought to live. I love that song, O Holy Night. Truly, he taught us to love one another. He comes and he breaks chains and he changes the world. But God gave him to us not only as a gift that we should follow his example. He gave him to us that Jesus would be a gift and a sacrifice. And Philippians chapter 2 tells us that Jesus was given even unto death. Being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. So Jesus' obedience is massively important to us. One of the other carols we sang yesterday, you would have sung yesterday, we sang through the last couple of weeks, That line that I'm going to put in my house, Christian children all should be mild, obedient, good as he, right?
And I sat in a little church yesterday with about 30 or 40 other believers and listened to the most wonderful message about Jesus' childhood and how he was obedient to his parents. He was raised by two sinners. He was a first child, so they had no idea what they were doing. And yet even Jesus was obedient to them and submitted to them. But God tells us that his humiliation, because that's what it is, for the King of Glory to submit himself to human sinners as his own parents is a humiliation. But the humiliation went even further, that he humbled himself to the point of death. Not just that he would die, you know, quietly of old age in his sleep. No, that he died the death of a filthy criminal on a cross. Paul put it this way, but God shows his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God shows his love for you, and that while you were still lost in your sin, and you still discarded Jesus as just a fancy story, or perhaps you harbored resentment against God, or perhaps you just chose to live a life of indulging yourself, that even in that moment, God's love is poured out for you in this, that even there, Christ died for you to pay for your sins, that we might not perish, but enjoy the gift of eternal life. Now, why would you talk about Jesus' death on Christmas Day? Well, I don't think the Christmas story is complete without understanding that he would also die and then be raised to life, that we also might be raised to life with him. That's why we celebrate his coming in the first place. And I hope my prayer for this morning has been that as you think about the love of God that's poured out in Jesus Christ, it would fill you to overflowing with affection for Jesus, that your love for him would overflow as well. And you would look and think, Jesus has loved me. What can I do now to show my love for him? What can I do now to show my gratitude? Well, I want to just talk about three things that I think you can do. Three ways that you can reciprocate or you can return that love that Jesus has shown to you. How can you love God in return? And the first thing is this. You need to surrender your life to Jesus Christ. And we had a wonderful church camp a couple of months back. And one of the themes that Pastor Dudley Anderson, who shared at that church camp, brought out to us was the difference between committing your life to Jesus and surrendering your life to Christ. Because a lot of us say we make a commitment, like we're committed to supporting the Springboks, unless, or the Proteas, that's a better example. Unless they lose, then we're not really that interested. Commitment can be very flimsy, but surrender is something else where I put my whole life down and I say, have it all. You are my Lord. I'm surrendered to you. And in love for God, because of the great love shown to us in Jesus, the only thing we can do in return is to surrender our lives to Jesus Christ. And surrender is played out in this one thing, obedience. Jesus said this, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And again, John reminds us in his way. He says, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. So nobody really likes talking about obedience. You know? No one wants to be known for their obedience. Can you put that on your tombstone one day? He was very obedient. But yet the scriptures hold up obedience to God. That's what he wants from us. He wants you to live the way he set out for you. The way Jesus set it out an example. The commandments and the statutes of the Lord are good. And he says, live this way. If you love the Lord, do what he says. It's not burdensome. I love that. We think, oh, geez, okay, we got to be a goody two-shoes and just miss out on all the joy of life because we're a Christian. We're missing the point if that's what you think Christianity is all about. His commands are not burdensome. Truth of the matter is when I live a life that honors Jesus in obedience to him, I find out what real life is. I find real joy and satisfaction and hope. Surrender your life to Jesus Christ. And I want to say to some of you maybe today, or somebody perhaps who's even watching online, that some, you know, you find yourself listening to this message for whatever reason, or someone here, your granny's dragged you to church by the ear. I know it happens on Christmas sometimes that people are looking around at each other. I'm not going to make eye contact today. But maybe you know you've never surrendered your life to Jesus Christ. You have a kind of casual acquaintance with Jesus, or you don't mind popping into church on Christmas and Easter and things like that. What he calls for is surrender. Surrender your life to Jesus Christ. Nothing less than his complete lordship of your life is acceptable. But second thing, I believe we can express our love for God by loving one another well. Someone once asked Jesus, of all the things in the Bible, what are the most important things? And Jesus said this to him, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. And the second thing is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There's no other commandment greater than these. These two things are inextricably linked. That's why we love God by loving our neighbor. And again, John reminds us, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Best way to express your love for God? Very often, loving others. Loving others. I want to say, today, I really think is a wonderful opportunity for you to pour out love to one another. I know most of you have big plans for lunch today, and you're going to be with people that you love. And that is absolutely fantastic. And I want to talk you through this just for a couple of minutes. Some ways that you can pour out love on each other. Now, I don't know if you know this, but I find it a very, very helpful thing in figuring out how to love my family well and my wife and friends well, is to understand their love language. Anybody done a love language course? You know about the 5 different love languages? Okay. Not enough of you. Okay, so I'm going to run through it very quickly, okay? There's 5 basic ways that people express and receive love. Listen carefully, because this might score you some real bonus points today, okay? If you figure out how to love people according to their language. Now, some people, their love language is quality time. The way that you show that person love is you just be present with them today. And if you know that you have a family member, a loved one, who just wants to you to be there. It's about the time and the memories that you create today. Make the most of that. Put the phone down. Put your phones away. Be there. Put your watches away as well. And make the most of quality time with the people that you love. And if you can't be with those people today, make another time where you can. What about the love language of physical touch? There are some people who a hug and a kiss means the world. Introverts, I see you there. I see you. I see you shrinking into your chair. And I know even a day like this today, like a morning like today, is quite intimidating. But man, maybe your granny would just really benefit from a big squeeze today. Or your husband or your wife or your kid, and you know the one that needs it. And you can give that as a gift. It's absolutely free. A third love language is deeds of love, where you do something of significance. Some of you, perhaps you can put your hand up and say, I've got the dishes after lunch today. I'm going to do that as an expression of love to my family. Kira, I see you over there volunteering. No? Okay. Fix up the garden, wash the car, it'll brighten somebody's day. And some people, and you know if this is this person's love language, if they're the person that's doing it, constantly doing it to you. Making sure that you eat well, making sure that you have everything you need on Christmas Day. A fourth one is words of affirmation. Some of the people that you love, they need to hear it today. They need to hear. They need you to look in their eyes and to tell them, I love you. I am proud of you. Thank you for all that you do and all that you are to me. Use your words. Speak it out. Do it over the phone if you need to. words of affirmation. Incredibly important. And the last one, obviously, on Christmas morning is this, gift giving. Okay. But it's only a part of the expression of love. Remember to be grateful for the gifts that you get, especially the ones that were well thought out for you. Someone is trying to tell you that they love you in a special way. So love one another well this Christmas. And I also want to say, this is the most incredibly opportune time for you to reach out and to connect with somebody where there's been a broken relationship. Perhaps today the most loving thing you can do for somebody else is to apologize or to forgive or to reconcile. Nobody is forgiven more than Christ. And he entrusts us with a ministry of reconciliation. There's no better day to pick up the phone and reach out to somebody. Make right where you can. And then lastly, I want to say this, that I think expressing our love for God, we can do it in loving the least of these. And what I mean by this is Jesus tells the story and he talks about a reward for those. He rewards a bunch of people in the end time. And he says to them, you know, because I was hungry and you fed me, and I was naked and you clothed me, and I was lonely and you visited me. And these people turn to Jesus and they say, well, when did we do this, Lord? When did we do this? And he says, when you do these things for the least of these, for the people who need it most, I take it personally as a gift to me. I take it as an expression of love to me. And I want to encourage us as a church to look for opportunities to be generous to the people who need it the most. And perhaps it'll come in the coming days when you've got piles and piles of leftovers in your fridge, or have more clothes than you know what to do with, whatever it is. And I want to just challenge every single one of you to take this seriously, to pray about this. Who can I bless? Who can I be generous to where it's going to make tremendous impacts? Not necessarily out of love for that person, but out of love for Jesus first and foremost. And he says, what you do for the least of these folks, you do for me. And why I say we need to pray about this is because we know, as South Africans, we know just giving $50 to somebody at the robot is not necessarily the most loving thing I can do. But there are ways for every single one of us to be generous. And you may be thinking, well, I don't have much. You have plenty. The Lord will reveal it to you, a way for you to exercise generosity in love to God for all of that. Now, over the last couple of weeks, we've been looking at these three things, that Christmas is about faith, Christmas is about hope, and today Christmas is about love. And in that passage that Andrew read last week, for those of you who remember, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it all wraps up by saying this, so now, faith, hope, and love abide these three, but the greatest of these is love. Why is love so much greater than faith and hope? Why is love the greatest? Because when Jesus comes again to take us to be the citizens of his kingdom, in Jesus' kingdom, we will no longer need faith. Our faith will be sight. In Jesus' kingdom, we will no longer need hope, because our hope is all satisfied and fulfilled in Jesus. But the one thing that remains, the one thing that goes on and on forever in that kingdom, is love. This is why Jesus says, if people want to look for my disciples, you will tell the ones who are really my disciples, and that they have this one thing in abundance. Not magical powers, not prophetic utterances, not spiritual gifts and wisdom and knowledge and all of those things. Yeah, those are great, that's fine. But the greatest of these, the thing, the stamp, the one thing you cannot argue with about the disciples of Christ, they have my love. Flowing out of the fact that we understand that we are perfectly loved, and now free to love. Let's pray together. What a wonderful gift it is this morning, Lord God, to be gathered in your name with friends and loved ones here in this building, but Lord, also with the body of Christ around the world, celebrating your coming, Lord Jesus. I ask, Lord God, that your word would dwell in us richly around our lunch tables today, whatever other occasions we have today in the next little while in this festive season, that we would remember constantly your great love for us and then the call you place on our lives to love you in obedience, to love each other well, and to love the least of these. We do these things, Lord Jesus, in gratitude and thanksgiving for all you have done for us and all we have in you. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I hope that song resonates in your head right through lunch and right through to tomorrow morning and throughout the rest of this week. Amen. Let's close in a word of prayer. And you're welcome to hang around and hug and kiss whoever you feel comfortable to hug and kiss. And have a fantastic, fantastic Christmas day. Thank you again, Lord God, for your word. And again, may it dwell richly in us. So now may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who called us is faithful, and he will do it. Amen.